This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day when the economy actually, despite all of the bad news about inflation and the supply chain and the price of gas, the market was up more than 100 points again today. It's cruising above 36,000. And James Glassman, who was associated with the previous speculation of a Dow 30,000 when that didn't look possible at all, is now saying, Dow, why not 1 million? Now, with all that going on, Stephen Greenhut says, and I think he's right, politics is rotting brains and making everyone mad. And Stephen is a Western Region Director for the R Street Institute and is a columnist for the Orange County Register. His column I encountered, and it's been all over the place because it's fascinating and it's very important. His column on politics is rotting brains and making everyone mad. As I encountered in Reason Magazine, Libertarian Magazine. Stephen, would you generally describe yourself as libertarian in your politics?
Yes, I am.
That's with a small L. Are you a member of the Libertarian Party?
No, small L. Yeah, I've been to too many Libertarian Party events to be a member of the party.
Okay, no, I understand. You prefer something other than a political suicide cult.
I'm not big into joining tribes and groups. And anyway, but yeah, that's kind of the point of the article in a way, right? That we're all just joining in groups, and we seem to be hating each other, and it's not healthy for our lives.
There was a big new poll about that had some good news about people are very devoted to America. They're very positive about the country. About half of the people in the United States actually believe that America was chosen by God for certain purposes. That's half of Americans. But at the same time, 36% of Americans, of registered voters, actually, think that it may be necessary to use violence to defend American values soon, in the near future. And which is kind of stunning and very worrisome, it seems to me. But that's part of what you're talking about, is we just attach too much importance, apocalyptic importance, to politics. Explain.
Yes, it seems, I think people have convinced themselves that the stakes are just so high that if we don't get in these knockout, drag-out grudge matches, that, you know, the other side, whatever the other side is going to take over and put us in gulags or something like that. Now, I do argue, and I do believe, that government has gotten way too big over the years. That's not something that's happened suddenly. It's been getting that way for a long time. And the more power that government has, the more that we do truly have to fear the people who are in charge of the government. So part of that is true, but I think this frenzy that we've seen, and I'm not a sociologist, I haven't analyzed it, I'm just looking as a columnist, looking at what I'm seeing in my own communities, and I think people are overdoing this, and you know, I refer to that article that came out, the Flight 93 election before the Trump, the first Trump victory, and whatever one thinks of Trump or the importance of that election, this idea that if we don't storm the cabin, you know, that the plane is going to go down, you know, a Hillary Clinton presidency is going to be the end of the nation. And the left does the same thing, and both sides just have, I think we've overstated how bad it is, because, you know, I've always had friends and relatives who, you know, all sorts of political opinions, and we've all gotten along, and we've agreed to disagree, but, you know, that we shouldn't be destroying our relationships over this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, when people are talking about using violence, to try to protect traditional American values. One traditional American value is that we try to avoid civil wars and fighting in the streets and attacks on the Capitol building.
Right.
It's one of those things that should be a nonpartisan consensus, but the only consensus is that both sides believe we are just minutes away from the apocalypse, from the end of the republic. What's fascinating about your piece, I'd never thought about it before, but it really does have to do with just expecting government to do too much for us.
Yeah, I think so. And the point you just made, I mean, I was on a Facebook page of a really nice person, and they were asking whether are we headed towards a civil war. And then I'm reading the comments from the people. And like you, I was shocked by the number of people who thought that might not be that bad of an idea. And at what percentage of adults were killed during the actual civil war that we had and the total destruction of society? And it's almost like cosplay, I think. The people I know who talk that way don't seem to have any realistic understanding of what that would mean to our lives and our societies and our children and the economy and everything. And I can't believe that people are so flippant in how they think about this. And a lot of it's blowing off steam, I think. But what is happening is normal communities, I see it on, you know, a little local Facebook page. I live in a rural area in Northern California. You know, it's kind of a friendly thing where people talk about their goats and their dogs and all that sort of thing. But there's politics is always, people are always wanting to get involved in political discussions where in areas where I don't think we should have even think about politics. Don't we have anything else going on in our lives that everything has to be about politics? And I point to a Washington Post article about Kalispell, Montana, which is a lovely town. It's one of the prettiest places on earth. My son-in-law is from there. And how the members of the community, at least reportedly, are at each other's throats. And that's sad to me.
Well, to take the other side, I know there are people who are listening to us now saying, well, we don't want politics to be that important, but what are you supposed to do when they're now going to force your children to get vaccinated? And of course, people don't like to acknowledge that we've been doing compulsory vaccination, mandated vaccination, for almost 100 years for various vaccines. But isn't that a lot of it? You always point to something. People are very worried about religious liberty, about churches losing their tax deduction if they don't get behind the transgender and the same-sex marriage movements. And that's part of it, too, isn't it? The fact that we're seeing government in a way that most people had not really thought about before.
No, I agree. I spent my career as a columnist writing about the abuses of government. And there's some real reasons to be worried about government, you know, on all sorts of areas. And you know, I see it on, you know, asset forfeiture reform. I agree with the points you made, but there are other things too. You know, some of the policing techniques, some of the things that I've seen where there are reasons to be worried. You know, eminent domain abuse I've written about. So there are all sorts of ways government, you know, abuses our rights and our liberties. And so a lot of the feeling, I think, is legitimate that, my God, we got to stop the government from forcing this stuff on us. And the progressive left certainly doesn't seem to recognize any limits to where government should be. But traditionally conservative have agreed that we need to work towards limiting the size and scope and power of government. And I quote one conservative here, Sohrab Ahmari, and he's part of a group, I think, of new populist conservatives who don't have a time of day for limiting government. And
outstanding piece. We're posted on our website at michaelmedved.com. Stephen Greenhut, thank you for joining us. We will be right back.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Stephen Greenhut is a Western Region Director for the R Street Institute and is a columnist for the Orange County Register, even though we just found out he lives in Northern California. Stephen is the author of this extremely enlightening, I think, and provocative new column, Politics is Rotting Brains and Making Everyone Mad. And I think it's true. There was a piece in the New York Times over the weekend, front page, a headline in the New York Times, State of the Union, Both Bitter and Gloomy. virus and infighting overwhelm reasons for optimism. Stephen, you have a new book called Saving California.
Talk about an effort of optimism.
Right, there it is. So what's for a lot of us who are former Californians, as I am, there's a lot when I go back and I look at my former neighborhood, which is right on the border between Venice and Santa Monica. A lot of it seems beyond saving. What's the key to saving California?
Well, it's a tough one. I mean, we look at, I'm the editor of it, and I looked at different contributions from folks looking at, how to deal with homelessness and the budget issues. A lot of the solutions aren't that difficult. It's a political problem, and that in some ways highlights what we've been talking about on this in this segment is the fact that, okay, we need to break out of this political situation that we're in. But a lot of the reforms that we need are political in nature. So in California, the unions, the public sector unions, seem to thwart any kind of reform, right? They're trying to crush charter schools. It's a good example. And yet that's a key to helping poor kids get a better education. So what do we do about it? And we get to this problem, like I was before the break, I was pointing to a group of new conservatives who are arguing that we should no longer just try to support the kind of neutrality that our founders had advocated for, and that the real problem are libertarians. In this one article that I had quoted in the piece we're discussing, which is funny because, libertarians, we have 10 opinions for every 3 of us. And we don't have any sort of political power. But his basic point is that we need to stop this phony idea of neutrality and just try to grab control of the reins of power, of federal power, and try to impose our will on everyone else like the left is doing. And I think that's really dangerous. I think we need to try to rein in government permanently, because whatever powers we expand for ourselves, we're not going to be in power all the time. The other side's going to gladly use them towards their end. So it's a tough discussion, and there's no real solution. The purpose of my column was just to cause people to think about in our own lives. I mean, do we really want to destroy relationships and think about politics all the time? Is that really what we want to do? Can we not do better, at least individually? That's always the best starting point, I think.
Well, when you're talking about people doing better individually, over the weekend, Josh Hawley, the senator from Missouri, who's one of, about 50 Republicans who's a potential presidential contender, I guess, at least in his own mind he is. And Senator Hawley gave a powerful speech trying to get men to be men in the best sense of the word, and to spend less time with video games and porn. Now, I think that's good advice, probably, but how do you get the government to do that? How can the government encourage people to get out of mom's basement? I'm not sure how that works.
Well, yeah, I've spent, years looking at people on the left and right, with these kind of demands to use the government to do something about video games or this or that. And that just seems like more of the same old nonsense. I mean, the advice isn't bad on a personal level, although, some of the actions that Senator Hawley have done related to the January 6th event make me wonder whether he's in a position to preach to anybody about, proper behavior. That's my own personal view. But when I hear this stuff coming from government officials, It doesn't resonate. But as individuals, though, I think we all need to kind of look at how we can reconnect with our neighbors and try to think about other things other than political power.
Well, again, and you talk about political power. One of my favorite quotes, in fact, it probably is my favorite quote of all time. Somebody just asked me in an interview, what's your favorite quote of all time? And here it is. Is how small of all that human hearts endure that part which laws or kings can cause or cure. That's from 1709. It's from Dr. Johnson, Dr. Samuel Johnson, that basically well-intentioned government programs don't always, let's put it that way. Sometimes they do. They don't always or regularly achieve their intentions. And for instance, you're writing about saving California. What's the best approach to homelessness, which is a huge problem in every major city in California?
There are not simple problems. There are things that, policy issues, and I'm a policy person more than a political person, so we can deal with things such as homeless courts, right? We don't have to, the state doesn't have to allow every piece of public property to become de facto tent encampments. We can deal with the fact, like there's the Orange County Rescue Mission president talks about that somewhere around 80% of the homeless people they deal with self-identify as having a mental health issue or a substance abuse issue, and those are the ones just self-identifying. So maybe the state can stop just treating it as a housing only issue. It's partially a housing issue, but it's also, it's a social issue. I mean, Jerry Brown admonished our current governor for being unwilling to use any sort of tough love approach, right? Rather than just whatever it is we're doing, which is throwing subsidies. I think in your old hometown, I think they spent about $700,000 a unit to build housing for the homeless, which will never going to be able to subsidize our way out of that problem.
No, and not with thousands and thousands of people living on the beach and seeming to prefer it that way. Look, there is so much right now that you do need to break through, but one of the things you need to also break through is that the goal of politics, and you say this in your column, that the goal of politics is destroying the other side. Part of being a grown-up and a realist is you never destroy the other side in politics. There's always another side, and they're always wrong, but they're there. Stephen Greenhut, it's great talking to you. And again, thank you for a provocative piece. And I look forward to saving California, as I imagine it will be a substantive and huge book. When we come back, Biden exults over passing the infrastructure bill. Come on up.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
There are now more than 250 million coronavirus cases around the world. That's according to Johns Hopkins University. The United States has more than 46 million of those infections, with 754,000 people dying in the United States. The House voted 228-206 to pass a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill Friday night after much wrangling among Democrats about whether to pair it with a larger budget package. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg touts the jobs that will be created with all the resources from the bill.
plumbers and pipe fitters working on those lead water pipes so that every child has clean drinking water. The folks who will be manufacturing the solar panels, the wind farms, the batteries, the electric vehicle elements around this country.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
And on the Michael Medved show, Joe Biden won his first substantial legislative victory. I don't know if it's a victory for the country. It's certainly a much-needed victory for Joe Biden. Will it take away the sting and the impact of the disasters for Democrats all across the country that were registered on Tuesday? No, I don't think it will. And, again, will people feel the difference? given the fact that they're spending $66 billion on trains, and one of the things about all the trains, cutting-edge 19th-century technology, actually early 19th-century technology, one of the problems about trains is it takes for bloody ever to build them. Can anyone remember a time when they weren't building the light rail in Seattle and experiencing all kinds of controversy about it and how little it is used and how it has done nothing, zero, zip, nada, zilch, to improve traffic? I know the argument is that the traffic would have been even worse without the train. But it's an amazing thing. And yet the president exulted because he found the 13 Republican votes he needed to pass the infrastructure bill. And here is how he sounded talking about successful infrastructure week. Listen, this is clip two.
Finally, infrastructure week. I'm so happy to say that, Infrastructure Week. Folks, yesterday, I don't think it's an exaggeration to suggest that we took a monumental step forward as a nation. We did something that's long overdue, that long has been talked about in Washington, but never actually been done. The House of Representatives passed an Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. That's a fancy way of saying a bipartisan infrastructure bill.
a once-in-a-generation investment that's going to create millions of jobs, modernize our infrastructure, our roads, our bridges, our broadband, a whole range of things.
Okay, why he was chuckling at the beginning, saying Infrastructure Week, is it was a standing Washington joke that during Trump's 4 years, there honestly were at least 5 weeks that were proclaimed Infrastructure Week. And everyone, the administration's attention and the press's attention would go to something else. The idea was that they were going to show some discipline and then they were going to focus on the issue of infrastructure and make some progress on it. Never did. Does this really make a gigantic difference in terms of infrastructure? Most experts who look at it says no. And what it says in the Wall Street Journal editorial, it says, with their narrow House majority, Democrats couldn't pass the bill themselves after 6 left-wing members voted no. Without those GOP votes, they got 13 GOP votes to vote yes, the bill would have failed and Democrats would have suffered another political defeat and more recriminations. Instead, Democratic leaders are moving ahead fast to focus on their $4 trillion entitlement spending and tax bill that is now more likely to pass. I think it still has a, I still believe it is unlikely to pass, because have you heard any indication that Sinema and Manchin are ready to jump on that particular bandwagon? I don't think so. If anything, Joe Manchin has been more clear than ever before that he is worried about the cost of all this, as he should be, as we all should be. The country needs spending on such public works as roads and bridges, says Wall Street Journal, and some projects will offer an economic return on the investment. But this bill throws money at far more than that, with only $110 billion reserved for this traditional infrastructure. The bill includes tens of billions in public broadband subsidies, etc., and many other things. The 13 Republicans resisted the pleas of Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy and Whip Steve Scalise. The GOP leaders couldn't even get the defectors to hold their votes to see if Democrats could pass the bill themselves. A failure would have given them leverage to get something from Democrats in return. That's what Mrs. Pelosi did when Republicans ran the House and the Freedom Caucus created problems for GOP leaders. Mr. McCarthy, says the Wall Street Journal, has a long way to go to prove that he's an effective legislative leader. With the Republicans so heavily favored at this point, by everybody to actually take the House of Representatives at least, and with a very good shot of taking the Senate, you wonder whether Kevin McCarthy really is ready for the kind of spotlight that he will be getting as a potential replacement for Nancy Pelosi, who I don't think would continue as Speaker even if the Democrats held the House, which they won't. There is this from, speaking of infrastructure, a question for Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, who's kind of Mr. Infrastructure because of the job that he has. He was at a press conference today, and he was asked about how he is going to deconstruct racist infrastructure. This is by April Ryan from PBS. And she's talking about racist highways. What she means is those kinds of highways that cut right through downtown neighborhoods, separating white and black neighborhoods. Here's the question and then the answer. Listen, clip 15.
Can you give us the construct of how you will deconstruct the racism that was built into the roadways? Can you talk to us about how that could be deconstructed?
Okay. How do you deconstruct a roadway? You knock it down? Here's the answer from Secretary Buttigieg.
I'm still surprised that some people were surprised when I pointed to the fact that if a highway was built for the purpose of dividing a white and a black neighborhood, or if an underpass was constructed such that a bus carrying mostly black and Puerto Rican kids to a beach, or it would have been, in New York, was designed too low for it to pass by, that obviously reflects racism that went into those design choices. I don't think we have anything to lose by confronting that simple reality, and I think we have everything to gain by acknowledging it and then dealing with it, which is why the Reconnecting Communities, that $1 billion, is something we want to get to work right away, putting to work.
But that's such a heavy lift. I mean, you have to reconstruct communities that this happened to. As you said, some of these beltways and interstates and roadways were built before the Civil Rights Act, before the Voting Rights Act, and were made meant to be racist.
Okay, racist highways. Given the fact that they just authorized $1 trillion, which was less than they originally wanted, this is not a ridiculous point. I mean, because obviously there have been highways that clearly were very destructive of community coherence. But the idea of rebuilding things right now, when there's clearly such a dramatic need for more housing and new housing, and you know, we need to do something about the homeless crisis. And when you talk about infrastructure, that obviously has to be part of the view. Coming up, Ted Cruz, he's picking a fight, and it's probably a fight he's going to find it tough to win. He's a big guy. This is somebody even bigger than he is. Why is Ted Cruz attacking Big Bird? It has nothing to do with funding for PBS. That I can sympathize with. What does it have to do with? Well, it's very controversial. We'll get to the Ted versus Big Bird, BB, conflict coming up on the MedVet Show.
Was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free, so I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN. Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting, alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Michael Medved Show. One of the things we were talking about earlier this hour with Stephen Greenhut was the way that everything is political right now, and everything is controversial. There's very, very little you can observe. I mean, the Packers-Chiefs game, which the Chiefs won handily, that gets political, and we'll get to that because it involves Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers, well, maybe not riding so high. He got involved with a little bit of war of words with Terry Bradshaw. We will get to that. But Big Bird, you would think, would be above politics. I believe Big Bird has won a Medal of Freedom. I think he has. He's generally revered across the country, even though he's only 6 years old. That's part of what comes with the character. And it reports in the Washington Post that Big Bird, like scores of American six-year-olds, became eligible for the Pfizer-BioNTech coronavirus vaccine last week. On Saturday, Big Bird announced he had lined up for a shot. And this was a tweet he sent out. My wing is feeling a little sore, but I'll give my body an extra protective boost that keeps me and others healthy, said the big feathered yellow bird who was eternally 6 years old. And then he got a tweet back from the President of the United States, President Biden, who hasn't tweeted nearly as much or as flamboyantly as President Trump, but he did tweet back to Big Bird, leading people to try to correct the president, saying, Big Bird's not real. Why are you doing this? In any event, he said, good on ya, Big Bird. Getting vaccinated is the best way to keep your whole neighborhood safe. The announcement ruffled feathers among some conservatives, however. Ted Cruz sort of led the way. He tweeted back, government propaganda for your five-year-old. And the of course, there are people who tweeted back and said, well, it's not fair. Big Bird doesn't work for the government. He works for the Children's Television Workshop. And I'm given the fact that he's 6 years old, actually doing that kind of work may violate child employment laws. I don't think so. I think Big Bird's legal. In any event, Big Bird then tweeted back, Ms. Erica R. Hill even said, I've been getting vaccines since I was a little bird. I had no idea. And there has been a long period of time where cartoon characters or figures from television, Captain Kangaroo, promoted vaccines in the 1970s. And Ted Cruz was asked, said he is vaccinated, and he says he supports vaccines, but he is opposed to any federal mandates. The governor in his state, Greg Abbott, recently banned any entity, including private businesses, from mandating coronavirus vaccines for workers or customers. Which, again, is so bizarre, the situation we're in. I understand if people don't like mandates and you don't want to be held responsible to them. But to ban a private business that wants to get as many people vaccinated as possible so they don't have to shut down and they don't have to interrupt. And again, the idea that that there are parents who, I mean, we have four grandchildren, none of whom are old enough yet to get vaccinated, but their parents can't wait. Because, again, when in terms of just the possibility of getting sick and interrupting your life, while it's true that it's very, very rarely a fatal disease, thank God, for little kids, it still can be a tremendous reduction of the chances of other members of the family, and particularly older members of the family, getting infected. It isn't the first time Sesame Street, writes the Washington Post, has deployed its puppet characters to dispense or to promote vaccines. Some Twitter users pointed out that Big Bird and other popular TV's personalities have been used in child immunization campaigns dating back to the 1970s. Other conservative commentators also weighed in, of course, on Big Bird's announcement. Lisa Booth, a Fox News contributor, tweeted that brainwashing children who are not at risk from COVID was twisted. Why is it twisted? No, seriously, why is it twisted to want children to get vaccinated? And they are at risk. They're 66 between October of 2020 and October of 2021. There were 66 children in this age range who died, and many others who have been hospitalized. And to say that they are not at risk at all, why? Most vaccines that you get, and the children get a bunch of them, do come when they're very young, and usually, as Big Bird indicated, when they don't even have a clear memory of it. And the idea that this this fight is worth making or worth undertaking, I don't entirely get it. There's so much going on here with the entertainment industry and political commentary, and not all of which is so impressive. One of the most unfunny skits in SNL history, widely planned, a Weekend Update joked about the Texas abortion law with a clown named Goober the Clown. And this was supposed to be hilarious. This is a sample. It's from clip 4A.
The Supreme Court heard arguments this week in Women's Whole Health v. Texas about the controversial Texas law that essentially bans all abortions after just 6 weeks. Here to cheer us up, well, this can't be right, Goober the Clown, who had an abortion when she was 23.
Hey, hey, hey! I'm Goober the Clown!
So, Goober, you had an abortion when you were 23?
Slow down. I'm a clown. Let's clown around. I had an abortion the day before my 23rd birthday.
Okay. It seems like you do want to talk about your abortion.
Well, actually, I really don't. But people keep bringing it up, so I got to keep talking about freaking abortion. But it's a rough subject, so we're going to do fun clown stuff to make it more palatable. Whee!
And then she does want to talk about abortion statistics. Does this strike you as even vaguely amusing? Listen.
Hey, know one in three clowns will have a clown abortion in her lifetime? You don't, because they don't tell you. They don't even know how to talk to other clowns about it. Because when they do talk about it, if you were a clown who wasn't the victim of something sad like clown theft, they think your clown abortion wasn't a righteous clown abortion. I mean, what the d*** is that?
I don't think you can say that word on the show.
What, abortion?
Well, I guess kind of. Yeah.
You know, it's funny, Colin. We're having fun. Just laugh. Hey, pull my finger.
No.
Laugh. I need it. I need you to laugh so hard. Like the way I laugh when the doctor asked if I got pregnant on the way over to the clinic because I wasn't very far along. And that is one of my favorite jokes to this day. I love that joke. It's such a good joke. Not like a funny ha-ha joke, but like a funny you're not an awful person and your life isn't over now joke. The best time. A honka honka. Good Lord.
Okay, they also introduced a new Donald Trump because Alec Baldwin said he's done with doing that. And for people who are looking forward to a terrific and hilarious season on SNL, Goober the Clown, I don't know, maybe they could have done better with Goober the Clown promoting the vaccines for kids. Coming up, they're going to be speaking to somebody who's not a kid. In fact, he's over 80, but sharp as a tack. And not that everybody over 80 isn't sharp as a... Well, there's President Biden. He's 78. In any event, Alan Dershowitz is going to be joining us to talk about the constitutionality of bans on critical race theory. There are a bunch of states that have done it and have passed laws. Will they stand up in court? And what about the attempt for federal mandates for vaccinations? That and more with constitutional law scholar and all-around know-it-all, he does, Professor Alan Dershowitz in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
I'm Al Simon, 91 years young. I created Balance 7 20 years ago. At 67, I went to see the doctor for the first time in my life and found that I had medical problems. He told me that was normal for my age. I don't believe God intended us to be sick and old. I decided to find something to bring my health back. For 10 years, I studied pH and how important it is to the human system. Balance 7 gave me back what I lost by getting older. I no longer get out of bed with a joint discomfort. Balance 7 can do for you what it has done for me and many others. In 3 days' time, you'll feel more energy, less joint discomfort, and clarity of thinking. No doctor or hospital can do what Balance 7 can do for you. Balance 7 is the key to unlocking the healthy immune system. Bring your body back to balance.
Order now. Receive free shipping with the code word AL. Go to balance7.com. That's balance7.com. Order now and get your free shipping and a free gift with your order. Go to balance7.com. Use the code word AL.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.